We're feeling alive, that worship and that praise and this gathering assembly to be able to gather under that name that is above all else. It is just an incredible start to our week. And as we lead and lean into the Word of God this morning, can I pray for us that our hearts would be open, that God would speak to us, whether we've read these scriptures many times before or this is the first time, that God, that through His Spirit, would ignite in us something this morning. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You, God. Lord, for Your living and active Word. That Jesus that is alive, and that this morning as we open it, I pray that You would speak to each one of us. Lord, teach us and speak to us. Lord God, individually You'd have different things that You want to place in our heart. That Lord, may our eyes and our ears and our hearts be open to what You would say in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. My name's Michelle and so great to be here this morning. Open up the Word. I love this season that we're in through prayer. Last week, Dean opened it up with persevering in prayer. And then we started on that Thursday for that 14-day prayer and fasting. And then yesterday on the back of that 24 hours, it finished at 10 a.m. this morning. Those people that around the clock had our church in mind, had our community in mind, had our city in mind, to be able to be in that space, to be able to intercede and pray that God would move, that His Spirit would be aflamed in our church, in our lives. So we thank each and every one of them. Beth, who was up here earlier, to be able to lead us in that prayer is just outstanding. So now we excitingly come to the Word of God to be able to hear what God would say to each one of us. We're going to open up in Ephesians 3, chapter 3. Verses 14 through to 21. I'm just getting closer to the people. This is great. And we got that on the screens. If you got that Bible with you when you open up, and let's read this together. It says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all Lord's holy people, to grasp how high, how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to measure of the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen."
Amen. So this morning, as we open up the Word, that here as Paul writes this letter to the Ephesus church, he's writing to them, and he's saying this, that they would be rooted and established in this love, that they would grasp it, that they would know it, that they would know this love of the Father, that they would know that love in their own lives, and that they would have not just a trickle, not just a half measure, not just a little bit of a measure, but they would have the full measure of God. Who in this room wants a full measure of God in their lives? So as we open up the Word this morning, we look at the writings of Paul to this church, the writings to us this morning, and we pull out the accounts of Paul that as he prays, that we would learn something of this prayer that he is praying for the Ephesus church. And I've titled our message this morning is that we would be sparked in prayer. Are we ready for that? And we'd be sparked in prayer. At the start here, Paul's talking and he's writing to the church of Ephesus. And he says, "For this reason, I kneel before you. I kneel before the Father in heaven." Back in the scriptures earlier, Paul wrote that same starting of that letter. He says, "For this reason." But on this letter, he writes with another posture in mind. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. That there is this earnestness, there is this bowing down to the Father. There is this desire that's not just to pray, but to be on his knees, that these people would grasp this. These people would know this. These people would know that full measure of who God is. And in this writing, in this letter, his posture changes from what is normal of the day and what is somewhat normal for us in these days, is that their posture to pray would be to stand and to be able to raise their hands, be able to pray to the Father. But in this moment, as he's praying for the church, that they would know this, that they would understand it from their inner being, that they'll grasp what he's saying and what he's praying on behalf of them. That he bows his knee, in some translations it says. That his posture from what is the normal of standing there and raising their hands to be able to pray. That there is a gravity of what he prays on behalf of the church. That Father, a Father who is above all, a Father who name of Father derives, all of us derive from that name, who is Father. He comes before God on behalf of them and he says, may they know this. May they grasp it. May they get it. May from the inside of them know this. And I'm going to bow and kneel and pray before God. That his posture changes in prayer. That when he comes and he's in the light and the knowing of who the Father is. Father, creator of all heaven and earth. Father of who all fathers come from. It says in the Greek, and it means, and I know this is a word for us here at our church, is we're tribe and nation. We're True North Church and everyone who's in the tribe, we're all we come from. That creator God, that as he comes into the presence of knowing the magnitude of who he is in the presence of, that he prays on his knees that they would earnestly get, that they would receive in this prayer. So his posture in prayer is to be able to bow before the Father. There are moments, church, and there's something that God has been showing me a little bit across this last month, that there is these moments where we are on our knees because of the Father who is doing something in our lives, that we would bow our knee, that we would pray unto him. And that might be out of the comfort zone of your posture of how you pray. But that we would grasp this posture as a church. That we would humbly come and submit and say and know the position of the Father Creator who is above all things. That in response to that, that our posture would not be worried about who's around us, but our posture would be that I fall on my knees, Lord. That in this moment, Jesus, I bow my knee before you. That you are worthy. That you are holy. That you are a mighty God. And out of a response of knowing who God is, we come and we bow our knee before him. And as I see Paul's writing here, and he writes in this posture of changing and bowing his knee, but then also his posture of his prayer, that he is in prison, he is confined, he is locked up, he is isolated, he has been bound there in prison. And so you would think that he would have a bit of a right to be able to inwardly pray, God, would you release me from this situation? God, would you make a way that I can spread your gospel into the places where you're calling me? God, would you remove these chains and remove these prison walls that I can go? But his posture in prayer here is to pray outwardly. His posture in prayer is to pray that, Lord, the people, the church of Ephesus, that, Lord, may they know how good you are. Lord, may they know how the heights and the depths of your love in their life. May they know the power that is in them. That our posture in our prayer And this world that says self comes first, that our posture in our prayer, that as we use that vehicle of Alpha, that many people would see and come to know that love of Jesus. That our posture would be one where we are on our knees and we have lists of names in our community, in our world, in our life, where we are praying that they would know the love of the Father, that they would know a love that is so far and wide and deep in their life. That our posture of prayer, whilst we pray for those things in our life, but we'd also have an outward focus and posture that we would pray for our church, we would pray for our community, we would pray for our governments, we would pray on our knees, God, would you pour it out? Pour out your Spirit upon us. That our posture here, as we see as Paul's, is to be able to see many know that same love that he has received. You see, his life had been transformed by who God is. It had taken an absolute turn from being against the church and being against the Christians and persecuting to receiving and knowing the love of the Father in his life. And by receiving it, by knowing it, by being compelled by it, there is this outpouring in his life where he's like, Lord, may everyone know this. Let nothing in me stop this, that I can pour out and pray that churches, that people more would know the love of the Saviour. That our posture of our heart, church, would be not only for the things that we need, not only for our desires and wants and things, but our posture of our heart, would we be praying for our neighbour? Would we be praying for our work colleagues? Would we be praying for those in our community? The second part in the scriptures here is talking about the power that they would receive. And I've been reading this book, A Praying Church by Paul Miller, outstanding book. And I've sort of only got to this part and I keep stopping there and reading and rereading it. And it's talking about, and I'm going to share a little bit about that as he brings into Ephesians 3. And he talks about over here how Paul prays through this Ephesians church and how they would see what the love of God in their lives. And so as Paul Miller is talking about the context of church and a praying church, I've adapted things, I didn't ask him, but I've adapted things a little bit for the model that we as individuals would also be able to have a model of where does prayer sit in our lives? What is that power engine of prayer in us that can activate within us? So we've got an image one up there, if we can see that. So over here, this is one blueprint, and he talks about this blueprint of our lives and in the church context. So I've just put a few things down, there'd be more than this, that are in our lives, whether it's our jobs, our family, our careers, our money, our finances through that, the vision of our life, the recreation, the hobbies, all these things, our family in that. And that prayer is amongst that, and there's this sort of little shaded spot that, you know, when I sort of maybe get there, I pray and it sits there in the midst of things and I use it as a tool for when I need God to move in different spaces. But the trouble is this blueprint is flawed. This blueprint will pick up and this blueprint will bring the wrong outcomes. It will bring the wrong thing in our life. If what we've got here is just prayer as a mix of what we have in our life and it sort of sits there and it does its thing on the side and I grab at it when I need it. And he goes on and we can see example two. And he talks about that first blueprint and that example he uses actually in that. If that first blueprint were plans of a car, this is what it would look like. It would look shiny, it would be great, It'll have all the gadgets. I like the gadgets and the look myself. But it would be lacking the engine, the transmission, and the power to go anywhere. It would look great. It would look shiny and nice and new, but actually would not be able to be utilized as it intended it to be. But as we go up, So as we have the Spirit of Jesus, as we have prayer in our lives, that would be the core of who we are. That prayer and that the Spirit of Jesus, the life-giving Spirit of who Jesus is in our life, would permeate every aspect of every part of who we are. That would be that power, that would be the engine, that would be the thing that gets us moving. That core aspect, that as we're praying into our family, as we're praying in our workplaces, as we're praying for our sporting and all these things, that prayer would be the core of who we are. That prayer would be that starting point, not something we grab hold of when we need it, but it'd be the starting point of who we are. That prayer would be that vehicle. That next slide, and there's prayer, Spirit, Jesus, power is how he sees that moving along. That prayer that he would say here is that critical spark that lights up, that sparks the Spirit of Jesus in us, that brings that power in our lives to keep us going. That we are quite capable on our own to do things. But when we look at that model of that blueprint where we're just grabbing at things, now that would look good. And look, things would look great from the outside. There will be a great life, great car, great family, good holidays. Everything seems great from the outside. But if we're lacking on the inside, that power of Jesus in us, that power that sparks in prayer and is able to inflame the Spirit in our life, that permeates and goes out every aspect of who we are, that when we go into our workplaces, things are different. When we go into the shops and we encounter someone, there's a difference. That there is a difference in us because the core of who we are is that we are a praying people. That God, show me what you see today. God, illuminate a person for me this morning. Lord, show me where you are at work, that I will be where you are. That core of who we are is engaged by prayer in our life, every aspect of it. He says that prayer is that critical spark, that engine in our life that keeps us going. And just as the Jesus and the Spirit is one, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit at one in us, activated and moving in our lives and through our lives. That power over here where Paul prays, that they would explode from the inside with power. That we would explode on the inside with power. That spark that generates from prayer. That there would be explosion on the inside. In our lives would transform and be different. That there would be an inner strength because of the power of prayer in our lives. Because the Spirit of God who is active in us. And then he says that there would be a power and explosive outside to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we could ask or imagine. And in the book here, Paul talks about how it's like this fireworks display. It's lit up and there's all kinds of colours and brilliant lights. This morning as I'm driving to church, I describe it as the brilliance of this season, where there's wattle and there's colour and there's reds and there's yellows and there's bright oranges and there's this beauty that is happened. That in our lives that there would be a radiance of colour, that outward explosiveness of the Spirit's work in our lives would be seen outwardly in our lives, to our communities, to our world. Paul goes on and he prays that they would receive the fullness of God, that measure of the fullness of God. Paul prays for the church that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you would be established in this love, that you would know the love and how far deep that drives down. That I talk that if you're in a season, you're going, great. Can I tell you this? This is the time for those roots to go down deep. Because what Paul says, trials will come. But in a season where we're at, no matter where we are at, that there will be deep roots that driving down into the soil, into fertile soil, that the love of Jesus, that prayer, the knowing of the love would be established and rooted in us through every season. That through, Jesus says that he threw out seeds and then it lands on rocky ground and there are a few things that sprouted up. As soon as the sun comes, as soon as the wind blows, as soon as the rain sweeps through, woof, it's all gone. But as we are established in love, as those roots get established and rooted into that ground, that fertile soil of knowing the love of the Father in our lives, I know for my own life that this has been the incredible difference in my whole life. To know how much God loves me. That I was looking and I was going to bring it, but it's too scary. If anyone does journaling and is like, you don't know what's in those journals, you don't want to be bringing it out and leaving it behind, that would be a terrible thing. But as I was flicking through it, and this was something that I was writing in 2005, and page after page was pretty much God saying, I love you. You are my daughter. You are a child of God. He would wake me in the middle of the night. I remember I'd go in and be writing at 3 o'clock in the morning of how much God loved me. At that point, I would have my head held down low coming into church, thinking I'm nobody, thinking I don't have anything to offer, thinking that who would want to be friends with me and all these kinds of things. But through the establishment of knowing the love of the Father, through the establishment of that rooted in the love of who God says I am. Not the words to be seen and not heard. Those words fall to the ground. That he does this work in our lives. Sometimes can't even put words to what is happening in our hearts. That through those moments of knowing who God is, rooted and established in his love, that those roots drive down so deep. Through every day, through every month, through every year, established and growing deeper and deeper and deeper. And can I tell you, I've been through trials. And then through those trials, nothing changes. Because God is who he says he is. That the love of the Father is still for me despite what I am going through. And so can I encourage someone today, if you're having a great day, drive those roots down in knowing whose you are. In knowing God's love for you, that too often it's sad to see that sometimes people turn their back in those times of hardship. Turn their back when they don't see prayers answered. Turn their back on walking away from faith in God and the creator of all things. Because those roots haven't been driven down. Because once those roots are down and you securely know who you are in God, it holds you firm. It holds you in place. It holds you in that position of where God is strengthening you from your inside out. That when those winds blow and those trials come and those storms brew, that there is no shifting or moving you because of his love. He says that they would have strength and power. That they would be able to comprehend this knowledge that surpasses our understanding. You think about that. It's like, how do you know something beyond knowing it? It's pretty hard, right? But what he's talking about here is that we would know. We would know this. Not from any fancy preaching. Not from probably reading things. but from knowing who the Father is, from knowing the love of Father for you. That surpasses anything written. That's in the heart. That's getting it deep from the inner core of who we are. That you would know that. That I would know that. That we would know this love that surpasses all knowledge. And that they would have a measure, fullness of God in their lives. And as we wrap up this morning, invite the team to come up. I believe God wants to pour more into our lives. That where I am today, God, I'm hungry for more. You might be physically hungry from fasting. But in these moments, our hunger for God, may it rise up far more than the comforts of this world. That we will receive more of the measure of the fullness of God for our lives. That we would not be satisfied with a trickle. We would not be satisfied with half full. We would not be satisfied with, okay, life's going good. But there is an abundance that God has for our lives. There is an explosion from the inside to the outside, that there'll be brilliance of color in our lives that we see in our world. And he says he does it through us. And Paul writes this prayer for the Ephesian church. And it's a prayer for us today that we would know the love of the Father, the one that can do immeasurably more than what I could hope or imagine. He wants that for each one of us. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and as we move from this time, sometimes we can get a bit locked into our chairs and our rows to fit everyone in, and that's a good thing. But we as a church want to have space and freedom to respond in a posture, to kneel before the Father, to respond with the overflowing goodness of who he is. And we can't help but bow our knee. We can't help but bow before the Father because of who he is and his great love that he lavishly pours out into us. Out of that response, we come, we bow, and we say, God, I'm here. And if that's something that you're feeling, and we're going to have these out on a weekly basis. It's a gift to everyone who's over 50, and you know, it's a bit hard to bend the knee. It's a bit hard to bend the knee and bow the knee before the Father. You want to, but the body is like, oh, I'm not sure. So, anyhow, we have some nice kneeling mats up the front. But all that to say, this moment, would you respond to God in the freedom of who he is, the freedom that he has paid for each one of us, that our worship, that our response to him, and that might be this morning to be able to bow your knee, to kneel before the Father, that posture to say, God, I want more of that fullness of you. Lord, let me stay hungry for more of the things of you, Father. We're going to pray for, we're going to keep this space open for you to respond in worship, whether you want to grab them, just if you don't need the kneel pads, praise the Lord. You can just spread out in this auditorium to be able to worship God, to be able to respond to him. I'm going to invite our prayer teams to come and pray alongside anyone that would like prayer, to be able to receive the full measure. Pour it out, Lord. Pour it out in our lives. Pour it out, Lord, that I'd be hungry more for you than anything of this world. Pour it out, God, in my life, that I would see your kingdom come. Pour it out in my life, Lord, that we would see Merriwa saved by your name. That we would be on our knees, behind closed doors, praying for our community, praying for our family, praying for our city. That if that's you, this is going to be a time of response, however you need that. If you come down the front, we're going to be praying for a full measure, praying for more of God to flow in your life. So won't you come as you feel led?